Wow, we are back. All right. Radical Tea Party here on Enemy Combatant Radio, streaming to you live from the Mission. We want to give a big shout out to San Francisco Liberation Radio, 93.7 FM, and Radio X in Seattle, which have been carrying our programs. We really appreciate it. We're back in the studio, and we have Robin Few with us. So welcome, Robin.
Oh, thank you
to
very
the
much.
Radical Tea Party.
Right on. We appreciate having the opportunity to come on the radio and speak to everybody.
No, no problem. Absolutely. So you were doing something today. You couldn't make it right away at 4.
I went to the Board of Supervisors today to I just do my little lobbying from office to office and just speaking with a couple of the legislative aides to ask them to kind of take a look at this massage legislation that they're trying to put a few amendments into in San Francisco and trying to get them to see our point of view,
right,
and ask to kind of keep a heads up if there's any certain language that's added to the legislation that we don't quite agree with.
What kind of languaging? Like, what would be the ideal and what is currently in place?
What is in place right now is the legislation to move this massage practitioners right now are under police rule. Okay. Kind of under what the police are.
That's not very conducive to relaxing.
No, it's not, is it? But what we're trying to do is to move it to all completely to the Department of Public Health, which is excellent. That's where it should be. And in the language, we're trying to not add that if you have been arrested for pimping and pandering, that you cannot have a massage license. We don't see why that language has to even be in the massage parlor legislation if
right.
it's for massage practitioners. So we're trying to discuss certain things that may not be needed in the amendments. Right now there's an amendment looking to let the police enter your establishment without a warrant. And
without a warrant.
We're a little bit worried about that, too.
I would be, too.
Okay. So those are just a couple of heads up I was giving to a couple of the Board of Supervisors to look for. If that is added in, then please don't vote.
That's right.
Don't vote yes on that legislation until we amend it to where it suits all of our purposes. So.
And would that still be the same if, even if they took out the part about not being able to have a warrant or not requiring a warrant to go in and search, would, under the Patriot Act, I mean, could they still find a way to, like, raid massage parlors all over San Francisco?
Honey, I believe that under the Patriot Act, they can find a way to do anything.
Anything. This is true.
They came after prostitutes.
That's true. Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about what you're currently going through and some other women. And I'll just let you go with it and talk about what you want to.
Gosh, yeah. I want to say that for probably one of the first times in our history, the federal government has put prostitution under attack. And we are literally being prosecuted by conspiracy to commit prostitution. That's unheard of before in federal legislation or in federal charges. You just never saw conspiracy to commit prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
So it's outrageous that at this time of war, John Ashcroft is spending our resources on going after women who are committing sex acts. Hello.
Exactly.
I'm shocked and amazed that I could be targeted by John Ashcroft for, let's see, what did he said that we were aiding and abetting terrorists by offering sex acts to terrorists. It's insanity.
Really?
Yes. You know, it's quite unusual. He went after 36 women this year. And he has put half of them in prison. That's where your tax dollars right now are going
and,
to incarcerate
women for prostitution. And this is unheard of, really. Right. I mean, to imprison women for, I was hearing of sentences up to like 2 years.
2 years, exactly.
That's insane.
Exactly. 2 years. Now, albeit some of these women were caught with their hands in the cookie jar. I mean, some of them had made quite a bit of money. And with a couple of the women, I think drugs were involved. To be honest, I don't know all of the circumstances. But, you know, every individual woman had her individual case, you know, mm-hmm. but unfortunately every one of the women pled guilty, I included, and so we didn't really get our day in court. I myself was told that if I was to plead not guilty, that it's the federal government and I'm charged with conspiracy, and no matter what, that they could convict anybody on conspiracy. That's what I'm told, you know, that I wouldn't have a chance in hell of beating, you know.
Well, that sounds like a democratic judicial system to me, you know, your
day in
court.
Doesn't it sound like the Bush administration, though? I mean, isn't that the fear that we're living under right now? And isn't that what's going on in our courts? They're this mandatory minimum that they're getting everybody to plead out. You know, right mm-hmm. now we've got judges saying, well, we're watching, you know, we're watching you prosecutors because you're talking all the cases into pleading guilty right now.
Right.
And then you're getting rid of our mandatory minimums. You know, if you plead guilty, you don't have to accept a mandatory minimum. For me, conspiracy to commit prostitution is a 5-year mandatory minimum. Okay.
Wow.
So if I go to court and I lose, it's an automatic 5 years. Okay, because that's the mandatory, and that's what John Ashcroft is telling judges, hey, you give the mandatory minimum. You know, you're not getting around the mandatories. So we're getting around mandatory minimums now by pleading guilty. You plead guilty, and then I'm facing what they offered me, 0 to 6 months, okay, that I could get house arrest, or 6 to 12 months house arrest. And then when the probation report came back, and it had Osama bin Laden's name in it and terrorism written in it. And they wanted to do an upward departure for me to where I was at a higher level, you know, and my incarceration level then went to 2 years, 21 months to 27 months is what I'm looking at now. It's all very confusing. I know you're looking at me with
That's
very
confused
eyes.
That's just insane. And I think the links to terrorism in and of themselves are, you know, I think anyone that's probably listening to this right now is going, wait, you know, I've yet to hear anything about, you know, related to this that, you know, that could possibly have been the government investigating terrorism, you know, recently or in the past. I mean, this isn't something that, you know, people I think are linking to an article that they read about. Oh yeah, there was this terrorism that, okay, it was connected to prostitution, but yes, this terrorism has been investigated and has been dealt with. I haven't heard anything about that. I haven't heard anything, you know. All I've heard about is, like, there are some sex workers that are dealing with pretty heavy charges right now that have nothing to do with terrorism. So well, I'm just wondering what happened to that.
This derived from Florida, so you've got to look at the source, okay? This came out of Miami. A woman got busted in Miami. The source says in my probation report, now, I'd never heard of anything about this, you guys, and I pled guilty a year ago. Too, okay, and I had never once ever heard anything about what was issued in my probation report in July. Mm-hmm. Never once heard this. And what it says is the background of my case involves a prostitute who was sent by an escort service, a madam, mm-hmm. to a hotel room where she met a Middle Eastern man. And this was right after 9/11. So there was a television program on about the 9/11 attacks, and the Middle Eastern man started ranting and raving anti-American sentiments, and he said that he knew he had details that anthrax was not related to the Muslims. And the girl, it says the prostitute in the room with the man, got very afraid, and when the session was over, she left the man, and she went straight to the FBI, and she turned in everything, her escort service, she turned in everything. Oh. All the people she'd worked for, she turned in about the Middle Eastern man. The funny thing is that the Middle Eastern man was never interviewed, but
right.
all of the prostitutes were arrested.
Nice.
And,
very nice.
And then a full-scale nationwide investigation was done, and a lot of women were pulled into this very bizarre investigation that derived from Florida. And now the women have all dropped like flies across the country, you know, just from knowing each other. Who knows? I mean, I never knew any of these people. So from having
all of
a phone number of somebody else's
right.
or being in somebody's phone book, all of a sudden, because of that, we are all, involved in this case. And it's not right. It's actually, it's like a witch hunt, John Ashcroft on a witch hunt across America to, to, you know, raise his moral values and exploit his moral values to everybody in the country, you know.
They probably didn't interview that, the Middle Eastern man, because he's right. The anthrax didn't come from Muslims. It came from American labs, American military labs. So
they maybe didn't
really want that to be, you know, discussed or debated.
They might not have interviewed him because maybe there were, never was one.
Right. Okay? There we go.
I'm sorry, but that's totally the way I feel about it. I believe this is a lie, and unless you can prove it to me otherwise, I do not believe it.
And they haven't said that they're going to bring this guy in for not even to interrogate, but even as a witness.
No,
that's
never
crazy.
Never happened. I don't believe the man was ever caught. Okay.
Wow.
He was never interviewed. He was never, who knows? I don't believe that any of this is true. But, you know, nonetheless, it doesn't matter. On September 29th, I'll be sentenced, you know, and all that I can hope and pray is that I have enough support from my community, that I get enough letters of support from my community, and that shows their anger, their anger at the federal government for wasting our tax dollars on arresting women for prostitution at the federal level. It's outrageous. It's unheard of. And at this time that we're in all the turmoil that we are with our budget deficit.
Right.
With everything
our education system.
I can tell you that John Ashcroft spent $11 million and he's not through spending on this prostitution investigation. And it cost, I believe it was 60, I want to say 30 to 60,000. I know that's a huge, I have that in paper. I think it's 60,000 to incarcerate one prisoner for a year. Okay, I believe it's 60,000.
Lonnie
so,
knows all this stuff.
That's what I was reading. And so we're going to prison now at the tune of $60,000. I mean, wouldn't he rather me be paying taxes
right.
on that? Than, you know, I'm sorry. It just
don't be sorry. I think that there's a
ludicrous.
Lot of people that feel the same way. And I think that particularly women in this country have a very distinct view about where this country is going, why it's going there, you know, and how can we get out of that handbasket that's getting so close to the flames, you know, and people don't, and it's like, oh, well, because you're a woman, you know, your opinion doesn't really count. You know, what do you know about political analysis? What do you know about economic analysis? It's like, you know what? I pay taxes too, buddy.
That's
okay.
Right.
So,
and I can study, I can read.
Exactly. You know, that's right.
I can learn. I am a smart girl. All right?
I am a smart girl. Yeah. It's just unheard of. And not unheard of. I think it's just, it's mind boggling and it does boggle the mind and not just prostitutes under attack. And I mean, the most insane things are being criminalized in a way that really makes you wonder where the war on terrorism really is. You know, we're talking about criminalization of the homeless, criminalization of medical marijuana patients, criminalization of anybody that speaks out against the government. And these are all extremely scary when you think that people are dying to protect these supposed rights that we have, and yet it seems like our rights really are dwindling right before our very eyes.
I believe that I was targeted because of my involvement in the medical marijuana movement, which I have been highly involved in since 1998. And, you know, I've been very outspoken and very vocal in medical marijuana, and we have made some major changes, and which, you know, in San Francisco, just
right.
what we've done since 1998. And I also had a medicinal cannabis club for a short period of time right before I was arrested for about a year. And so I felt like that John Ashcroft targeted me because of my work in the medical marijuana movement and my advancements of the medical marijuana movement. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't shy about talking about who I was. I never spoke about being a prostitute, really, because I had gotten out of prostitution when I got into the medical marijuana movement.
Right.
So that's kind of what's really been difficult for me, to be drug back, you know, drug into...
To be back into that movement, because you're being so closely watched at this point.
Exactly. So, you know, but the great thing that I can say thank you to John Ashcroft for doing for me is he has brought me out of the closet. I can say who I am to people. Yes, I am a prostitute. You know, yes, I am an advocate of prostitution. Yes, I do believe it should be decriminalized and no longer live in the closet. We're very much, prostitution is very much like the gay movement in the beginning.
Right.
Because we hide. You know, the prostitute could be your next door neighbor, your mother, your sister, your girlfriend,
your girlfriend. This is true.
You know, so you don't know who we are.
Right.
You know, and that's something that, thank you, John Ashcroft, you've brought me out of the closet, and I can be honest about who I am and what's important to me in my life. You know, so
right. and just like the gay movement, there's also an equal share of hate crimes that happen, you know, because women can't go to someone that will, you know, not even just protect them, but just acknowledge that they have legitimate claims and that their lives are of value.
Exactly.
You know, and that's pretty scary. And you know, maybe, do you think that it does need to come to that point where family members come out and say yes, you know, kind of like they did when their son, they found out their son was gay and, you know, maybe he was attacked, you know, yes, my daughter, my sister, she is a prostitute and I support her and I want to help, lobby for her and her cause.
You know, it's funny you said, but not only that, but even look at the medical marijuana movement. It's the same way. You had to see your family dying for people to come out and say, hey, you know, doctors, their doctors finally came out when their families were touched by, you know, cancer or AIDS or whatever they needed that drug for. Then you come out. Yes, it's true. My mother and father are Southern Baptist missionaries in Kentucky. So you have to say that this was probably one of the most difficult issues in the world for them to deal with right now. You know, but they're dealing with it, you know,
right.
and I just, bless their hearts.
Right. I mean, in a way, it's kind of ironic because here is John Ashcroft and the Bush administration saying that we need to return to morals and we need, you know, like this pluralistic, puritanical, you know, agenda. And yet, you know, like what would happen if a bunch of families came out and said, you know, as families and family values, we are standing up for prostitution. Like what the hell would he do? He would like roll over and, you know,
he'd go grab some snakes and get some oil. Trust me on this one. He'll go do a dance and a couple of songs because he's got to get pure.
I would like to, you know, I'd be interested in knowing if there's anyone out there that has information about Ashcroft's personal sex life and whether, you know.
Oh, yes, he does. But it's between
sheets. Oh, yes, he does.
I mean, there's a sheet laying across the towel.
Exactly.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I mean, this man is not right. There is no doubt in my mind that he is one very sick individual, you know, and all we have to do is fight back, you guys. I mean, honestly, and this is what I'm telling all you anarchists out there right now, that if you have never registered to vote, it is time to do so right now, because the only way we are going to rid ourselves of John Ashcroft is to get rid of George Bush. And that has to happen. That has to happen in November of 2004. It has to happen, and it is up to every one of you left-wingers out there to go to the polls, and let's get rid of that bastard.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That's all we can do.
And speaking of you know, fighting and doing what you guys are doing, you have an event tonight that you wanted to talk a little bit about.
God, I'm so stoked about this, you guys. It's the Sex Workers Organized for Labor, Human, and Civil Rights. We are presenting Rachel Wooten. She's from Australia. She is coming here. She's from Sex Workers Outreach Project that is in Western Australia. She's coming here tonight to talk to us at 7 p.m. She will be at the Service Employee International Union. That's Union 790. It's in Fox Plaza. That's located at 1390 Market Street. We'll be in suite number 1018 on the 10th floor. So if anybody's, just go to the bottom floor of Fox Plaza, and there's a guard down there, and he'll send you. He says, yes, I know those girls are upstairs.
Yeah,
and
he will
send you our way. But trust me, Rachel is brilliant and beautiful and very interesting. She's going to talk to us about what is going on in Australia. And right now they have the best decrim laws that are happening. New Zealand has just picked up the New Zealand Reform Act, which is even better than what's going on in Australia. And And I'll tell you, the Prostitutes' Rights Organization, which is us, we are we're Californians for Civil Liberties. And what we're up to is decriminalizing prostitution in California in 2004. So that's not only one reason to get rid of George Bush for voting in 2004, but another reason to vote is because we're going to be on the ballot. All right?
Out with the old Bush, in with the new.
Oh, I like that.
Get rid of it.
You know,
I want royalties.
We want to see that Decrim Act on, you know, we want to see this initiative on the ballot 2004. If it's not, you'll see us again in 2005 and 2006. I mean, it'll be like the medical marijuana movement. You're going to be looking at all us hoes out there with our signs until you vote us in and get us right. You know, we want to be recognized. One thing I realized, you guys, when I got arrested for prostitution, the medical marijuana movement kind of didn't want to recognize that, because I got busted for medical marijuana and prostitution. Okay, so I had two charges on me when I got busted. When I pled guilty, they dropped the drug charge, so they dropped the medical marijuana charge, which was another 5-year mandatory minimum.
That's insane.
So I was stuck with 2 5-year mandatory minimums. But the funniest thing was, the most insane thing was, that the medical marijuana movement wasn't quite sure how to handle my arrest, because they didn't want to talk about the prostitution mixing it with the medical marijuana, because it just was a little bit too...
They're like, we can only advocate for one thing at a time.
One thing at a time, right. You know, well, I can advocate for more than one thing at a time, and I have my two vices, okay? And one is sex, and the other is medical marijuana. No, that's not a vice, but that, you know, that's what I'm into and what I'm fighting for. And the one thing that really I found curious was that I was marginalized right out of the medical marijuana movement by my arrest for prostitution. So I see us go as, you know, we got a status flow going here. You know, it's our
status flow.
You got the normal straight people, or whatever we want to call everybody up here, and then you got those crazy medical marijuana people there, and then you got down another level to the prostitution people, right. You know, and I don't want to see those levels. I want us all to be up there on that same level, because we are all the same and we're all fighting for our civil liberties and our freedoms. Right. And trust me, these freedoms are going to be important. Our prostitution, decriminal prostitution,
is really important to everybody.
Happen.
It does happen that way, though, where it's like, you know, you didn't speak out about one thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, one gets cut, the other gets cut, and then finally you're the only one left speaking, and there's no one left to, you know, you're all by yourself, because you haven't wanted to unify, you know, you haven't wanted to show any kind of solidarity. And that's a big mistake. And I think that's pretty much what the administration wants to see happen.
Hey, divide and conquer. All right.
Right.
Yes. If they divide us, and you're exactly right. You know, the whole thing of mixing the issues and the federal government getting in, and you know, they've put the medical marijuana movement against each other. You know, they've got one guy testifying against another guy, and yeah, there's always causing some kind of, you know, that's what the federal government's up to. They want to put a kink in our chains and our wheels. You know, they want to stop us from rolling right along the way we are. You know, and so that's what we've got to realize that, and we have to stay in unison. We've got to stay together. We've got to hold together, and we've got to fight one common enemy, and not fight within ourselves and amongst ourselves, but fight against one common enemy, who is John Ashcroft. He's the evil one. All right. Just remember that always.
this is our soundbite for the afternoon. John Ashcroft is evil.
He sucks.
Yeah. Can you guys ever envision or foresee a time when, you know, prostitutes will literally be just taking to the streets and like doing direct action and marching on Washington and just doing all this stuff that, you know, like, I'm not leaving until, you know.
You know, prostitutes did that in the 70s, okay? We were there, okay? Medical marijuana legalizers, they were there, okay? The 70s. My active friends tell me that a window opens for activists every 20 years, okay?
That's what Alexander Coburn
says. The movement. Every 20 years, the movement.
It can only surprise the state every 20 years.
Okay,
that's
so it's our turn, you guys. Right now, it's 20 years later. The prostitutes marched in the 70s. It's, you know, a little longer, maybe, you know, early 80s. You know, they really came out. Now it's time to really come out again. And what's our push? John Ashcroft. You know, John Ashcroft is helping us. You know, he's going to help us get our message out right now. And also, we've got Lawrence versus Texas. Thank you very much.
That's right.
Thank you very, very much.
And Stacey talked a little bit about that.
We love that. I mean, I'm so proud of that ruling that it didn't happen out here.
Right, right.
I mean, I'm just freaking amazed by that.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
But that's the whole. And no matter what they say, that, you know, and they even said it in it, you know, don't use this as your loophole for legalizing prostitution.
That's right. They made sure.
Well, hello, you gave it to us. We're going to use it, and it's there. And look for it in the initiative. Look for some of the language right out of Lawrence versus Texas to be in the decriminalization initiative that we want to move forward.
What's the progress on that, on the initiative itself? Like, what point is it at right now?
Meeting with lawyers who are interested enough to give their time. And it's young women lawyers right now.
Excellent.
Who are interested, and fabulous young women lawyers, much younger than me. About your age.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, it's fabulous. You know, it's fabulous. Who's getting involved and who's stepping up to the plate? And I'll tell you, it's people who are out here for our civil liberties, who want to see us win this human rights issue, you know. So
it's interesting, the people that have jumped onto recently in the past, you know, couple of years have jumped onto the bandwagon of let's legalize prostitution. And, you know, I think a lot of women were really surprised to see a male candidate for governor, not for governor, yes, for governor, come out and say, hey, if you elect me, I'm going to legalize prostitution. And
Smut King.
Smut King.
We love Smut King.
So is this like a common, like faced with the option of the choice of either voting a woman into office or voting Larry Flint into office, who has made it explicitly known that he would legalize prostitution. Who, I mean, what's the kind of the common vibe going through the sex worker community in terms of that?
No on the recall, back up whoever you want.
No on the recall, back up whoever you want.
You know what? Who knows? I give up on this. You guys, the hell with it. I say vote for who you want, all right? I'm over telling people who to vote for. I'm over this, you know?
Woo! That's what we feel.
That the Republicans,
but the
divisive tactic is Republicans. They put their money into this recall. Okay, I look at this for every Green Party, every Independent Party, every sex party, every marijuana party person to get out and vote. Now, you guys, this is time. This is the only chance we really have to get a third party out there.
Right.
I mean, I'll tell you, I work for a medical marijuana activist group. And we put a call out to all the governor candidates, right? You know, to ask, okay, call us back. You know, let us know where your stand is on medical marijuana. Well, guess who called us back?
Larry Flint.
No, you know what? Larry didn't call, but you know who did call was
Camejo,
and Huffington.
Yeah.
All right.
Those are my two.
Yeah, and they're stoked. They're totally stoked to even be contacted about medical marijuana and get to put their issue out, you know. And so, I mean, why are we voting for people that don't care about us? Why are we voting for people who don't care about our issues? I'm the hell with you Democrats, all right?
I mean, woo!
That's what I got to say. I have nothing, no love for you, because you have no love for me, you know. And I don't want to, if it's between Democrats and Republicans, then I don't want to have any of it, okay? That's not what I want. I mean, we need more. There are many, many people out here dissatisfied, and Democrats ain't hitting it. For me,
that's right.
Okay,
they're not hitting the D spot.
No, Matt Gonzalez for mayor.
No, yeah, he's actually going to be here at 6.
Green Party, you know, the Green Party's—they're here for us, you guys. They're here to legalize prostitution. They'll damn right decriminalize it for us. I know, and you know, we can then work on our issues with the Green Party. I'd much rather be working with the Green Party than with the Democrats.
Like fine-tuning their, I mean, because they have their issues too, but at least, you know, at least with something that, you know, you can work with and that, you know.
You know, we can, so at least I want to sit down at the table. I want to be addressed. You know, I want my issues addressed. And that's, I think that there are so many sex workers in San Francisco And it's time for the sex workers to stand up and let their voice be heard. And if they can't, call me and I'll stand up for you.
That's right.
Okay.
You know, that's right. I mean, basically, you know that you've got someone that's like a good candidate when they have a bunch of, you know, anarchists working in their Green Party office.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. It's kind of weird, but...
No, it's actually very fabulous.
He has anarchists in his office.
It's pretty beautiful.
And they're like, you know, I just want you to know that I'm not a Green Party member, but I do support Matt Gonzalez. It's just like really weird. It's like bizarre, like surreal, like.
Well, we're starting our own party, you guys. We have the marijuana party and we got the sex party. So we're starting the sex and drugs party. All right, and that's it.
Do people ask you if there's like a time for them to show up, or like should they bring something? Because that kind of sounds like.
Listen, every Wednesday night, Stacey and I have a study group, all right? Because we're studying the laws on prostitution. We're studying what's happened in the past. We're studying what initiatives. And we're just studying what the women have worked really hard on over the past 25 years that we're talking about. And so our study group is every Wednesday night. We meet in Berkeley and in San Francisco. So look for us on the website. We'll have the dates and the times. It's www.pro2004.org. And go in there for all our events, and hopefully it'll be updated more than
we logged on to Pro 2000 by accident, and it was a real estate site. So just so you guys know, it's 2004.
Pro2004.org.
Sure,
yeah.
Pink. Is, you know, you were talking about going over some of the work that's already been done, and I'm wondering if there is a woman throughout history, you know, that's been working since the 70s, 60s, that's really inspired you in terms of her commitment and her work. I was on the Lusty Lady listserv for a while, and a lot of old timers would write in and talk about, you know, their journey and their, I mean, just the fight that they had gone through, and really how when they first started out, it was so alone, you know, and so kind of fractionalized, and they're just really, they're like, you know, I'm still here because I believe in it so much, and I believe, you know, that we deserve this. And so I'm just wondering, have you read anything? Is there anybody that pops out in particular?
You know, that's so funny. Everybody talks about Margot St. James. Well, unfortunately, I've never met Margot. I can't wait. I know I will someday. I know our paths will cross. But I have to say that my hero right now is Carol Lee. And I say that because Carol Lee, who is Scarlet Harlot, she's the Sex Workers Film Festival. I mean, she's just a damn trooper, you guys. I mean, that woman gets out and works her ass off for the movement. She's doing everything she can. She's trying to hold Coyote into some kind of togetherness, even though they're, you know, Coyote kind of went defunct a little bit and hadn't had a lot of movement going. And now all of a sudden, here we come, you know, in my case. And we've got
Shannon
Williams, bless her heart. We love her very much and support her tremendously. And Carol's just, you know, Carol, you know, Stacey and I are very much hands-on direct activists. You know, we're direct action activists. We go out and we're going to stand on the corner in our underwear and start screaming, you know, and stuff, you know. And it's... Right. We did do that recently. We did the leopard print protest.
And that's right.
We had pink leopard print on and went out on the corner of 661. Well, it was 661 Washington Street in front of the Wiley Manuel Courthouse and wore pink leopard print lingerie and raised some hell, you guys. And it was great. It was great.
Excellent.
Yeah, log on to our website and you'll get to see Stacey in her pink. Pink leopard print.
No, it's awesome. The only reason you weren't naked is because you still have charges pending.
Yeah.
Okay.
And speaking of that, I want to invite you guys to a couple of our protests.
Excellent. Tell us.
On September 25th, we're protesting at 661 Washington Street. It's between 6th and 7th. It's the Wiley Manuel Courthouse in Oakland, California. Stacey was arrested for indecent exposure. We were at Shannon Williams' case, and we were marching through around the courthouse there, and we were chanting, "More boobs in public, less boobs in public office." And as we were chanting that, Stacey rips her shirt off, and as she rips her shirt off, the Alameda sheriffs immediately attack. And so we were shocked because, we mean...
So that usually drives them into a frenzy,
yeah. Freedom of speech, though, you guys. We're right. We're holding signs. We're chanting boobs songs, you know? And all of a sudden, Stacey's going to jail. So we're going to fight this fucker all the way to the, you know, Supreme Court if we have to. Because we believe in our right to speak freely, and we also believe that our boobs are beautiful, and we don't think that they should go to jail.
If guys can be shirtless in public, you know?
Why can't we?
I asked Oakland Police Department specifically, female officers, after I was arrested, I asked them specifically how many women get arrested annually for being topless. They said maybe a dozen or so. I asked them how many men are arrested annually for being topless in Oakland. And they laughed and said none. And then when I asked if they thought that was sexist, they said absolutely not. So the women within the force have also been indoctrinated and brainwashed. And that's so unfortunate for them that they buy into these laws that say that their bodies are obscene and that they don't get to truly appreciate their own bodies. And they really buy into the concept of necessary bondage and veiling of their bodies. It's so sad for them.
That's weird.
It's weird and it's scary. All right. It's scary that this is... I don't know that this is an issue in Oakland. I just never believed that we would get arrested for... We don't get arrested in San Francisco. We marched on the federal building topless,
right.
You guys.
No, totally.
Log on to
and
spot the
Dyke
the
March,
boob.
You know?
Yeah,
like,
the Dyke March. I
hello?
Marched in the Dyke March with the sex workers for medical marijuana sign.
That's right.
You know, topless through that. What the hell, you know? So, yeah, this was quite shocking to us. So we want to form a human chain around the courthouse, topless. And we invite every human being to come, bring your dogs, cats. We don't care. We're ready for every topless being that we can get out there. Bring them on. Because we're going. We've invited the nudist from Berkeley to come
right
and
on.
Join.
The tattoo artists that want to show off their
just
their
everybody.
Work.
So join us on the 25th of September and let's go out and make a stand for free speech.
Okay. So 25th is Stacey's protest, the topless human chain, and then the 29th is when you're going to be.
29th will be at 450 Golden Gate. That's
okay.
Right in front of the federal building. They're doing some construction on one side of the federal building right now, so we'll be on the other side.
But it can't keep us away.
It will.
They've been doing that construction forever, dude, and I think it's just because of protesting, personally.
In my case, we're doing the red, white, and blue patriotic protest. It's patriotic prostitutes protesting for our rights, and we may have some naked painted bodies out there where we could be committing a little bit of civil disobedience on that day, but
excellent. I think a lot of civil disobedience is good.
Well, we want to make a stand, and we want to stand up and tell John Ashcroft that he can go to hell.
To fuck off.
All right, exactly. We do not appreciate his attack on us out here in California and on our
civil liberties. I would just send him a letter and say, listen, Ashcroft, if you want to screw me, then you have to pay. You know, you don't get to screw me over for free.
Well,
okay?
You know what? He is paying. Unfortunately, I'm not getting it. Okay?
That's
I'm
right,
not getting
exactly.
The money. He's paying. I'm getting the time, but I'm not getting the money. But, yeah, the patriotic prostitutes will go. I go in front of Judge Marilyn Patel, and I have to say that I believe Marilyn is a fabulous person, and I don't know this, but I'm going to put this out there, vibe you, Marilyn, that she recently made a great ruling. She had a medical marijuana agenda come into her courtroom. There was in Humboldt County, a sheriff was ordered by a judge to give marijuana back to a patient who he had taken the marijuana from. The sheriff refused to give the marijuana back. So the sheriff, instead of giving the marijuana back, sent the case to federal court, and Judge Patel got it. All right, Marilyn Patel got the case. She ordered the sheriff to return the marijuana. This is a federal judge ordering a state sheriff to return the marijuana to the medical marijuana patient. So I just have to say to everybody, for me, this is huge. I feel like this is a good sign. You know, the woman is not an idiot, you know, and she's upholding the laws of the state of California. She's at least upholding a judge's ruling.
Right.
You know, a state judge's ruling. And I believe that This woman is smart. I believe
most
she's
women
a,
are.
A feminist, and I believe she's a liberal. I mean, I know this from what her past is, and I don't believe that she's changed that much. And so I believe when she gets that probation report and sees John Ashcroft equating terrorism to prostitution, I think that she will see through that,
right.
You know, and I believe that in all my heart. And the best thing about this case, it starts at 10 o'clock, and it will be upstairs. I think she's on the 15th floor. The best thing about this is I have to accept responsibility on that day. So I on that day, I get to say whatever I want in my acceptance of responsibility and for as long as I want. So,
woo!
So I have a lot to say, and I would invite every one of you to come and listen, because I think that we don't all get an opportunity to say what we feel to directly to the federal courts and to John Ashcroft and to these people who are persecuting us out here.
Right.
And I do get that opportunity, and I've guarantee it will be a damn earful.
All right. Woo-hoo!
So come join us and show your solidarity, show your anger, you know, show your red, white, and blue true color.
And show your tits.
And show your tits, right?
You're local? You're a local San Franciscan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then they just moved the jurisdiction, like... They moved it from Florida to San Francisco?
No, I didn't get any Florida charges whatsoever. I am charged with conspiracy to commit prostitution. Interstate,
I still think that's funny.
It's hilarious, isn't it? Interstate trafficking by use of telephone. And running a brothel in San Francisco.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Now, even though there was no brothel in San Francisco, and, you know, the telephone charges are, I think, I have 1,000 pages of discovery, and I'm in about 20 of those pages.
Wow.
Okay. The 1,000 pages of discovery are about this woman in Florida and all this other stuff, you know. But
that's incredible.
It's pretty incredible. But I called the ACLU. I've talked to the Lawyers Guild. You guys, I've tried everybody, because I'm broke. You know, I have no mm-hmm. money. And when you're broke and have no money in this country, you an underdog. Okay?
Yes, this is true.
It's just not, you know, I mean, it's you can't fight without money. So unfortunately, I did put it out there. I did give it to the ACLU. I did give it to the National Lawyers Guild. And they just aren't going to fight for it. So
wow.
Yeah.
That's a statement. That's a statement in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The bigger picture of the Patriot Act, right?
Right. And I think, you know, I don't want to drag anybody off the Patriot Act, because believe me, I hate the Patriot Act 1 and despise Patriot Act 2. And, you know, and if we could, any way to get rid of those, I mean, I don't want to distract from that, but I don't want to see
what?
Prostitutes.
That's just insane. Like if everyone could know what it feels like to have your phone be tapped, you know, like people, but you know what I mean? If they knew, you know what I mean? Afterwards, like, what does that feel like to know that people have been, you know, cause I think about that too, because, you know, we here at the Independent Media Center, you know, kind of recognize the fact that, yeah, our email lists are monitored, our phones are tapped, but you don't really you know, have that sink in as a tangible fact until someone charges you with something and goes, yeah, I got that information from
your
phone.
I'd like to address that, because I have thousands of tapes, okay, or thousands of minutes of tapes that were recorded, and of my conversation, well, they're of a friend's conversations. It's very funny how it works. They can only come on for a short period of time, and then they have to log off. And the
Why
wonderful
is that?
Thing, because it's just the law. It's the
oh,
law.
Wow.
They can only go on for, I think they've 3 minutes on, 1 minute off, 3 minutes on, 1 minute off. So it's on and off. So you're getting all these bites all through it. You know, there are bites all through the thing. And the best thing about it was their equipment didn't work very well. So there's constant of just nothing going on, or you can hear a bunch of screw ups, you know, and it's awesome, you guys. It's just they don't have their shit as well together as you would think that they do, okay? And they're wasting a lot of money and a lot of time with this taping of everybody, like you.
That's so creepy.
All of us who are not criminals in any way, all of us who just believe differently than they want us to believe, they are wasting so much time and money. It's just like the McCarthy era, you guys. We are there again, okay? It is just the sneaking and the peeking. And
yeah.
Don't believe me. It's all happening.
And my life is so boring, you know, compared to Britney Spears. I mean, I don't know why they don't just tap Britney Spears' phone. You know, like they can get sounds of her, you know, having sex talk with Madonna or something. You know, my phone is just
money. She's got lots of money.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, remember that. That's you have no money.
That's right.
Okay,
Apple.
You with no money is much more fun for them to tap. Okay,
she's talking about having no money again. Let's record this. did you want
to? Yeah, I just wanted to add in. I guess also since we take it, it's cool taking almost the whole show talking about this, so I still want to take up more time. So talking about it, but just point out that like it's quite obvious, you know, how what you're talking about is linked to this show because it is, you know, it's a woman show, but it's also, you know, an anarchist woman show. And I think an important thing to point out, hoping you both of you would like to talk about this a little bit, is that what's wrong, what people see wrong with prostitution and what like can be wrong with prostitution is what's wrong with capitalism. And what's wrong with the way things are run in our society, because there's absolutely nothing wrong with consensual sex between two people. And if you choose to pay for it, that's your business. But what's the things that people do see is like people who are, you know, people who are have drug problems, maybe who are maybe streetwalkers, or maybe who are homeless and streetwalkers, or other types of sex workers, or you know, can't get healthcare, and people and ignorant people, in, I think around here in the United States say things like would blame prostitution for that. But what's really, it's a symptom of capitalism.
Right.
And so that it's, I think it's very appropriate that you guys are on our anarchist woman show today. And I'm hoping you guys would like talk about that.
Yay,
a little bit.
Thank you very much.
Good right. question.
You want to?
Stacey's like, yes, I will handle this one.
First, I'd like to point out that I don't think that the American form of capitalism that we live under is genuine capitalism. It's more of PC fascism is what I would call it.
PC fascism. I like that.
And I think absolutely poverty and oppression are so closely linked. As we just said, you don't have any money, so you're an easy target to oppress. And then we have dynamics of historically women always being more financially oppressed than men.
Mm-hmm.
And even when we bring capitalism into it, I have to always bring up the women's issue, is that the people being punished here are women. You know, we talked about how homelessness has become criminalized, and really that is an aspect of a classist system that also is what the way the classist system that we adopt in our society is part of what's contributing to our not genuine capitalistic model.
Right.
So I think that there are certainly links between poverty and prostitution and classism, where
right.
If you are poor enough to have to do that, then you're a less valued person in society. The other thing about when you bring up the poverty and capitalism and prostitution issue is we have to account for the women who aren't doing it because they're impoverished. They may not be a large percentage of the people who are actually engaged in prostitution, but there are women who adopt an identity as a priestess, or this is their calling, and sexual healing is what makes them feel good, and they're doing something good for society, and it's fulfilling for their souls beyond, you know, needing to feed a drug addiction or having children that you can't feed or
right.
something else. So
and yet the environment isn't there for them to have that be a sustainable life for them, you know, or you know, a like a fulfilling or safe environment, you know, because there's no laws that protect them, or there's no, you know.
Absolutely. And the other interesting side effects of how capitalism and sex are involved. I am an exotic dancer, not a prostitute. And from my experience, prostitution being illegal is really interfering with what I feel is my calling, because I want to share my body and express myself through nude dancing. And I don't necessarily want to be touched or give sex. And we have the Liquor Commission in San Francisco, and almost every state and county allows the exotic dance clubs to be controlled by the Liquor Commission based on creating laws whether or not you serve alcohol. And in some states, it's based on whether or not you serve hard alcohol or just beer and wine.
Wow.
So...
What is... That's insane.
So what's happening is the liquor commissions are create all of these restrictions on the girls based on you have to stay this many feet away from the customer while you're topless. You have to be in this part of the club if you're topless or not. These things where they're able to go in and fine the girls for not necessarily following the specific rules. But
so
also,
if they're in the wrong geographical location within yes. their own club, they can be fined?
Yes.
You can be fined for going to work?
You can't touch your own nipples, okay?
you so, can't touch your own nipples.
No, it's insane. So,
I love my nipples.
So now... The issue that's happening here is because prostitutes don't have a safe place to practice and to seek out clients, they come into our safe place, our quote-unquote safe place.
Right.
Where girls who aren't necessarily willing to be sexual with their clients, they're coming into these clubs and sort of screwing it up for us. We're not making any money. Not that we're making very much money anyway. And then the girls have to pay out. It's like, if you're going to be a prostitute, do it somewhere where you don't have to pay the club for being there. Because,
right.
you know, they're taking the girls' money. And girls in the clubs don't get paid. You only get paid for lap dancing. And so you're basically wow. being treated like your time is not worth money. You're asked to come and work an 8-hour shift. But you're not being compensated unless you're hustling money off of customers. And
wow.
so you have customers coming in who are, they're not getting sex, they're getting teased, which some people really enjoy and get off on. But if they had a place to go and get the real thing, then they'd be able to just go there. And us girls who are just dancers can go and be just dancers for clients who are looking for just dancers.
Right.
And then there can be a safe space for girls who are providing sexual healing, who are just hoes, to be just hoes and let their clients come in and be just hoes.
Someone's like, yeah.
And so it's really violating to us girls who are not prostitutes, and that's a message that needs to get out.
Well,
okay, all you prostitutes out there, don't get pissed off at her. She just wants a
no
place
hate.
To get naked and not give sex.
That's
all
right.
Right. And I just want a place for us to just
and be
give
unionized
sex. And not have to dance for it. Okay,
because
I'm sick
that's
of the
so,
dancing.
That's such
shit.
An in, that's such an interesting like dichotomy, though, because mm-hmm. I mean, really, there are so many levels. Like, for I think it's so interesting because men just think it's like, listen, either you want to do it or you don't. You know, and it's like it's only black or white, but really there's so many different levels of sexual activity and, you know, how you can give and receive, you know, sexual favor, sexual pleasure. And, you know, people just don't seem to understand that, you know.
You know, we were talking about capitalism and sex, and, you know, I believe I learned about capitalism through sex. I mean, I remember when I was 16 years old and I had to pay my rent. I had never really heard of the word prostitution. I'm from Kentucky. I'm kind of a green girl. And, you know, I was 16, and I had my own apartment, and I needed to pay the rent, mm-hmm. and I was working as a waitress, you know, and didn't have enough money. And this kid I knew came over and said, hey, I know this guy over here in the apartment complex who will pay the rent for us if we have sex with him. I was like, dude, all right. Like, yeah, you know, rent paid. I mean, that
yeah.
just made total sense to me. And I didn't know that I had committed an act of prostitution for a long time. I didn't realize that that was actually, you know, what I was doing, and
of people, it's just like, this is survival, you know.
Survival. Thank you very much. You know, I need drugs, so I have sex to get my drugs. That makes perfect sense to me for girls on the streets who are strung out, you know, who need something. They need something and they know how to get it. And that's what I believe about myself. I needed my rent and I knew how to get it, or I knew where to get it. Or we find a way. We definitely find a way to survive. Women find a way to feed their children. They will find a way to feed their drug habits. They will find a way to pay their rent. Women
and the dad's gone usually. I mean, typically,
right?
You know, I mean, I don't want to speak for all men, but you know.
Well, we're on our own. I've always been, and that's what I see. So I see survival. I see sex for money as a survival issue. You know, and I think that we need to treat it that way. We need to look at prostitution as there are a lot of women out there surviving. You know, and the only way.
And how else
can
we be helping them too? That's the other thing. It's like, you know,
we can decriminalize their lives,
right? Exactly.
We can make them not.
And we can also give them affordable housing. We can give them universal health care. We can, you know, all these different things that a lot of people promise us, but then we don't ever really see it.
You know, I see that we have a larger picture, a problem, and when it comes to drug addiction, I mean, we get to legalize drugs, you guys. We've got to go somewhere to where we address that problem, which is putting women on the streets to fight for their drug habits. You know, what is causing a lot of prostitution or street prostitution right now? You know, and I think that needs to be addressed, and it goes beyond prostitution. You know, which was what Stacey was talking about, and we have to address the social issues, you know, and we need a safe haven. We need a safe space to go to. We need a place that doesn't try to take us out of prostitution, but tries to say, you know, what you're doing is okay. You're not a bad person. You're a good person. I don't want to change your life. I just want to help you in the next step. You know, and I think that we have a problem with SAGE, which has been put here for us in San Francisco, and Norma Hodling, who she's anti-prostitution. How can she help me? I'm sorry, bitch can't help me. All right. I mean it. And I'm going to put that out there. If you're anti me, how can you help me? All right. You can't help me if you're against me. All right. And this is the unity that we have to find out here. I am not against prostitutes. I am for prostitutes. And I am a prostitute, whether I have committed an act of prostitution within the last 5 years. I may or may have not, but I am still a prostitute. I have been a prostitute. And that is what I am here to support, are women who are prostitutes, who were prostitutes, or who want to be prostitutes.
Right.
You know, it's not a bad word. All right. It's, you are not a criminal. You are a human being and you need to be treated like one.
You go, girl.
I think it's really interesting that you brought up SAGE. So can I ask you a little bit more about that? Cause, I know personally, I know people who work at SAGE, actually a few people actually pretty well, because, the reason I was talking to earlier off air about, I know a lot about decriminalization, is because the youth program I work for studied the sex worker industry about 2 years ago for 3 months, to plan for a 10-day field investigation studying the sex worker industry. And SAGE was a group that we met with a couple times on the trip, and have since then, they really have reached out to us and like call us all the time. And the students in my youth program actually do outreach with them a lot, a couple times a year, at least a couple times a year still, because they've really made an effort to reach out to our youth group. And after we went on the trip, we wrote letters and wrote about all the people. We met with Coyote, we met with Carol Lee, we met with a lot of these groups, but SAGE was like the only group that wanted to keep in touch with us. And so because of that, they've heard, the youth who've come through the program I work for have heard like SAGE's point of view a lot. And while I think that they've done good stuff for the people who want that type of help, if they want to get quote unquote get out of prostitution or the sex worker industry, that they seem to have done good for the people that's what they wanted. But I think a lot of people need to realize that SAGE isn't for everybody, mm-hmm. that they're right. good for their constituency, the people that agree with that and want that type of organization, but it's not for everyone.
It's not for everybody. So, yeah. And that's why we're here. And that's why pro2004.org is here. And that's because we're here for you who don't necessarily want to get out, or you don't have any, you know, you're not ready to get out next year. You know, you get out in a few years, you know, or something. We're here for women who need legal advice, who are looking for legal referrals throughout the state. We're here to support you in what you're doing right now. Okay, not to help you leave and go get a job as a waitress. I'm not going to help you do that. You know, I don't know how to help you do that, but I'm here to help support you in what you're doing right now and your issue right now. And if you have legal problems right now or questions that we can help you with, or that's what our organization is here for and what we want to do. We want to decriminalize prostitution. Mm-hmm. And within that realm, we want to invite the community into our organization to come with us, to study with us, to join our study groups, to study what's going on.
To protest.
To protest, direct action, exactly, to bring you, not marginalize, not be a marginalized citizen, but to bring you out to be a citizen of California, you know, and to speak up about who you are and know that I believe that the rest of California is standing up for you. And I believe that it's time right now that we have the support of California, that we have the support of the women and the men and the transgenders in California to say, yes, it's time to decriminalize prostitution, because these people are not criminals. They are human beings and our next door neighbors and our family and our friends.
You brought up, and we're almost out of time, so I'm going to ask you guys too if you want to make any other comments. But I did want to say that you had brought up, you know, this verse, you know, prostitution versus waitressing and different things like that. And the thing that I think that we should really point out about that is that with prostitution, so many women are self-employed, you know, and so many women are also a part of a collective effort or a cooperative where they swap resources and split everything evenly down the middle. And, you know, when you're a waitress, you know, I've been a waitress, my mom was a waitress for most of her life, and it's about having a boss that's a jackass, you know, that makes you work back-to-back shifts and figures out a way and some loophole to, you know, basically screw you out of money, you know, and what do? You're on your feet all day. I'd rather be on my back all day than on my feet, you know, but I don't know. But I mean, I think that's, you know, that there is something to be said about, you know, where does the empowerment come from? It's not just about sex. It's not just about owning your sexuality. It's also about owning your time, owning your money, and not having to give a share of it to a boss.
Sex workers are their own bosses. You know, I mean, prostitutes, especially if you're working for yourself, you know, you're your own boss. That's one thing that you work for yourself. Women who network with each other. So you're networking, you're working with other women, or you're working with other men. You know, I hate to be exclusive, but we are women, and that's mostly, I know women prostitutes. So, you know, but I'm sure the men are dealing with the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that men do not get arrested as much as we do. You know, they don't get harassed as much as we do. So that's one reason you male prostitutes out there, you don't always get included. But, you know.
Another reason why you should support us.
Exactly. You know, but we're here to help support everybody in prostitution and to help everybody to find legal help if you need it. If you're out there and you need to talk to somebody, you can always give us a call. We have a toll-free number. It's 1-877-776-2004. That's 1-877-PRO-2004. You can log on to our website. It's not always updated on time, but it does get that way. And that's pro2004.org. So look for us, contact us. We are there for you. And we hope to see you at our protest.
That's right. 25th is Stacy's. 25th is Stacy's, right?
25th.
And 29th is Robin's. And you know what? We will be updating you guys about this. So we will be make sure to stay on top of this.
If anybody can, join us tonight, Fox Plaza, 7 o'clock.
Oh, that's right.
And it's the 10th floor. Just ask the guard downstairs at the Fox Plaza where the hoes are.
Rachel from Australia, from the sex, what was it again? It was the Sex Workers
Outreach
Project or program, and she's going to be talking. So if you want to hang out with, you know, some locals and an Australian, talk about sex rights, then you need to be at Fox Plaza.
Thank you.
All right. Thank
so
you guys.
Much.
Thank you guys
thank
for coming
you.
On the show today. Woo!
Hoes, hoes.
Hoes, okay.
Hoes.
All right. This has been the Radical Tea Party for Enemy Combatant Radio. This is Sunny Anarchy and
this is Lonnie.
And we're signing off. We'll see you guys next Wednesday at 4 p.m. And in the meantime, get ready for the San Francisco Liberation Radio News.
Some people think little girls should be seen and not heard, but I think... Oh, bondage! Up yours! 1, 2, 3, 4!
They got 5 televisions in a house full of 3. Look up on that fake fireplace, you know the buck-tooth boys mean. See that wood panel room, that's where I learned.
I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built the Sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I am a gazelle, so swift, you can't catch me. For a birthday present, when he was 3, I gave my son Hannibal an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My my strength flows ever on. My son Noah built Newark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus. Men intoned my loving name. All praises, I am the one who would save. I sow diamonds in my backyard. My bowels deliver uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round intone my loving name. All praises, I am the one who would save. I sow diamonds in my backyard. My bowels deliver uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned and gold was laid across three continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal, I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky.
All right, that was Nikki Giovanni on the mic. That was the Radical Tea Party for Wednesday. What is today's date anyway? It is the 10th. All right. So, yeah, September 10th, Wednesday, that was the Radical Tea Party. Check it out on sf.indiemedia.org. We'll be uploading that. Now stay tuned for the San Francisco Liberation Radio News. And we'll be back with you in about a couple of minutes. Matt Gonzalez is going to be on the show today. He's going to be talking with us about what's up with his mayoral campaign. So if you guys have got questions that you want to ask him, he's in the hot seat tonight. So give us a call at 415-864-1006. That number again is 415-864-1006. And again, this is Enemy Combatant Radio streaming to you live from the Mission. Want to give a big shout out to Radio X in Seattle and SFLR for rebroadcasting our stream and doing that for us. And this is Underground Network, Anti-Flag.